All right. I am super excited to be here with you guys today. Super honored, super privileged. But first, before we start anything, can we give Jesus a hallelujah right now? On three. Come on, hallelujah! All right. First thing first, I want to say thank you to our pastors. Thank you to Pastor Phil and Pastor Carrie for giving me this opportunity to speak with you guys today. Such an honor and a privilege to lead beside them. They have a huge heart for this community. They lay down their lives for us, and I just want to say thank you to them. So let's give them a round of applause as well. Come on. All right. So you may ask the question, and you've probably saw the video, where are half of the men in our congregation, right? So, of course, they are at the men's retreat. There was a lady who came up to me, asked me the question, what is the men's retreat like, Josh? I'm like, you know, the way I can describe it is the men's retreat is like a man version of Disneyland. You got your rides, you got your roller coasters, you got your, they're going down the river on inner tubes and boats, they're on ATVs, having a great time, and they also have the activities as well. They're fishing, they're shooting, they're just having a blast. And of course, the main thing of it all is God himself. The men's retreat is an awesome opportunity for these men to grow in the things of the Lord, to draw closer to God, to take steps forward in their faith, but also enjoy each other's company and community. And I'm super confident that when they come back, they're going to be different. They're going to be changed. They're going to be closer to Jesus. All right, so to let you know a little bit about myself, of course, my name is Joshua Zilmabagabo. Really long last name, I know, super long. Try to say that 20 times. It's a tongue twister. I'm from Nampa, Idaho. That's where I was raised. My parents are from Rwanda, Africa. And yeah, I was raised here. I had the privilege to come up here at the University of Idaho. I was a college student that was set on fire by you guys. So super awesome opportunity to be a part of this church and also to grow in it as well. Right now, I currently work at the church. I've been working here for the past 4 years. I'm a radio station manager at KRLF 88.5. So come on, give it up. Yeah. I encourage you guys to turn your radios to 88.5, or if you have your phone, you know, search up the website, KRLF.org, and you'll just be able to play it on your phone. So while you're in the gym or wherever you're at, you can listen to KRLF. So I encourage you to do it. And another thing, too, is I'm also a campus staff. So that's a huge privilege to be able to help lead and guide these guys. Such an honor. And I have the privilege of watching them grow and draw closer to Jesus every day. And so I just want to say thank you guys again for allowing me to speak with you guys, and I'm just privileged. So lately, our church has been in this, this year of getting into the mix. Some of you may ask the question, what does it mean to get into the mix? It means not just sitting on the sidelines, but getting involved in what God is doing. And we've been having phenomenal messages the past 6 months that's been encouraging, inspiring me to ask the question, how am I getting into the mix? Last week, Amir did a phenomenal message. He was talking about how we just want to be cheerleaders or just the crowd, but we're in the mix. We're actually the football players that are active, and we're going through trials with Jesus, but also with each other in community. And today, I get the awesome opportunity to introduce you guys my message, which is going to be getting to the mix requires change. It's not just an outward change or an inward. It's also an inward change. When we look at change, sometimes we think to ourselves, like, what does that entail? What does that look like? If you think about it right now, we're in the halfway mark. We're 6 months into this year. And it's a great time to reevaluate our goals. And so for me, I'm looking at my goals. I'm like, all right, there's some goals I'm doing a great job at. I'm like, wow, this is looking good. There's some goals that are like, it's okay. It's kind of meandering through. And there's some goals I'm like, I don't even remember this thing even being here. Why did I write this down? Or am I crazy for this goal that I set? And one of these goals is my weight loss goal. So I was planning on losing 50 pounds, and that was a huge, drastic thing. And when I was looking back at the goal, I'm like, am I crazy? Like, why did I think about this? Like, this is outlandish. And I noticed I've been tracking my weight, and I've lost 15 pounds. So that's a blessing, right? Yeah. But my perspective is like, I'm not halfway. I'm not 25 pounds. I'm 15 pounds. And if you look at the graph that I have when I get on the weight scale, you see these ups and these downs. I'm like, I lose 5 pounds, I gain 5 pounds. I lose 10 pounds, I gain 10 pounds. I'm going up and down, up and down, up and down. If I look at all the weight that I lost, I can say, yeah, I lost 80 pounds, you know? Don't look at the gains, just paying attention to the negatives, and you'd see that I'm perfectly fine. But to be honest with you, I've only lost 15. And so in my head, I'm like, something needs to change. a goal needs to change. Either I can forget about the goal or I can adjust it, or I'm going to say, let's get this going and let's take this more seriously. And so with that to say, there are goals that we have in our lives, but there are goals that are so much more important. There are goals that are alive to our spiritual health. The greatest question, the greatest goal that I can ask myself, did I become more like Jesus or more like the world? We are all becoming something. We all invest our time into something. We all are doing something. But the question is, that something, is God over that something? Is God in the mix of that something? Or are we just doing it our own strengths? And if the answer is, Lord, no, like in this 6 months, I have not grown closer to you, then where we need to be said, Lord, I need to change. Lord, humble me. Lord, transform me. Lord, do what only you can do. As I've been evaluating my halfway mark in my own spiritual journey, I've been realizing that, yeah, I'm doing well in my spiritual disciplines, but God's saying, I want you to dive deeper. Yeah, it's cool that you're checking off the box, you're reading your Bible every day, you're doing this, but I want you to dive deeper with me. I want you to be desperate. And as I was thinking about that, I'm like, God, like, how can I become more desperate? And the way that God responded to me, he said, you need to know that how much you need me. And therefore, how much you need me is going to tell you how desperate you are for me. And so the story that I want to read with you guys today is a story about Saul. So to give you some context about who Saul is a Pharisee, a religious leader. Saul was a man who was persecuting the early church. He was a man that looked at Christians and thought that they were going against the will of God. And all of a sudden, on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with God. God said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And through that, Saul was blinded. He was blinded for 3 days, and then God called a man named Ananias to go speak to him, to lay his hand upon him. But before that, Ananias was kind of questioning. He's like, God, you know this guy killed Christians? Like, are you sure about that? Like, this guy's a little... And God's like, no, I'm going to use this man. I have a plan and a purpose for this man. So he goes over, he lays his hands on him, and he's able to regain his sight. He gets baptized, and this is where we read today. So if you guys could stand up, we'll read this passage, and we'll get going. Acts chapter 9, 20-22 says, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by providing that Jesus was the Christ. All right, you guys may be seated. And we see this dramatic encounter that he had. The first thing that he does is he proclaims the gospel. The man who tried to silence Christians is now preaching Christ. The man who fought against the name of Jesus is now declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. Like, that's miraculous to think about. And when I first looked at this passage, I thought to myself, okay, so Paul just didn't know what was going on, and all of a sudden he just changed, you know? One day God came in and he's like, all right, let's move. Okay, I just didn't know. But if we look a little further, Paul retells his story in Acts 26:14. He says, we all fall to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. The phrase, kicking against the goads, what a goad is a 6-foot to 8-foot long pole, and we have a picture up here to show you guys. And the whole purpose of this cool stick with a pointed end is to guide the ox or the animal towards a certain direction. And the whole purpose behind that is to get them conditioned to the point where they just know where they're going. And so we see here in this story that, you know, God is telling Saul that I have been poking at you. I have been telling you to go down the right path, but you weren't listening to me. He was constantly poking at him, pricking at him, but he constantly was resisting God. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times that I've resisted God. How many times where God has pointed me that direction, but I just kind of, I didn't listen to him. And so Saul thought he was serving God, but in reality, he was serving his own ways. So my first point is change requires yielding to God. If we want to change, we can't resist God. God has to guide us. God has to lead us. And I think the best analogy I can think about is a GPS system, right? We have our own GPS where this is where I'm going to go. This is where it's going to take me. And this is my destination. This is my place. And this is my location. But God's with us in the vehicle. And God said, can you actually take a right here? Can you slow down? Can we take a detour? But we're like, no, I trust my own GPS. We say, I know where I'm going. This way looks faster. This makes more sense to me. And realize the issue is not that God has not given direction. The issue is that we are more committed to our own GPS than we are to his voice. It's super convicting. We live in a culture that's all about us. It's all about me, what I can get, what I can do. But God's saying, can you listen to me? I have a plan for you. This may take a little bit longer, but I'm doing something in the process of all of this. So I have a story to share with you guys. My mom is awesome. She's passionate for the Lord. She's an awesome woman of God. But one thing I struggled with when I was a kid was going to the store with her. She would be like, I'm pretty much focused and locked in. I'm like, I got four things. We got the eggs, we got the bread, we got the cheese, we got the Hot Pockets, whatever those four things are, right? We got those four things. That's what we're going to get, and then we're going to get out. My mom is like, all right, let's get the four things. And then we end up getting 40 things. And I'm just like, how'd you add a zero to that? Like, come on. And as a kid, I'm like, how can I get out of this? What are ways that I can do? And so one way I did is I grabbed the cart, and I started pushing it faster. I'm like, all right, mom, we got to get going. And I grabbed the stuff. And the first two times it worked, it was okay. But then my mom was like, get back over here. I'm like, all right, turn back around. But then there's this way that I found that worked really well. So my mom is from Africa. She's from a third world country. So one trick that I found is saying this, mom, I'm hungry. And telling an African mother that was from a third world country, I'm hungry, she's like, we're going to get my baby some food. Let's go. So instantly, I'm like, all right, let's go. And if I'm really lucky, my mom will be like, let's go to McDonald's. I'm like, yeah, McDonald's. I'll get my Happy Meal. I'm happy. Let's go. My dad, on the other hand, oh, he wasn't like that. My dad was pretty much like me, but there would be times when he'd meet up with somebody. My dad is really charismatic. He really loves people. And he would talk with that person for 2 to 3 hours. And I would try to do everything I can. I'd try to push the cart faster. I'd try to say things like, I'm hungry. And my dad would be like, whatever. And he would talk to this person. And then one time I'm like, Dad, why do you do this? Why do you take so long to talk to somebody? Let me try to get this African accent. Let me try to imitate him real quick. He's like, Joshua, good conversations or like treasures in the depths of the ocean. And I'm like, Dad, I don't need no African proverb. I want a Happy Meal. I want my Transformer toy. I want to get out of here. And my dad would just laugh at me and not pay attention to me. But the way that I operated was I had a plan. I had a goal. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I want to get out. So I went to the gym one day. I went to Planet Fitness. And God was telling me, hey, Josh, you should talk to that person about me. And I was like, I got stuff to do. I got to finish this set. I want you to talk to that person about me. Whatever. I kept ignoring it. And eventually, I obeyed. I did it. And then I was like, God, are you happy I did what you told me to do? And I just kind of felt convicted. I didn't see joy. I didn't see the purpose that he was trying to push me towards. I was so caught up in my workout schedule. I was so caught up in what I wanted to do that I was losing in what God wanted to do in me. And so one thing I realized is in order for us to change, it requires us to embrace God. It requires us to look at him in the face and say, God, my plans look small. When I look at you, it makes things look a lot smaller. And you are worthy of it all, and I'm going to say yes to you. But when we look at our goals, our plans, our visions, or whatever we think, we lose sight of God and we see this as bigger than him. And so that's why it's super important for us to embrace God. If resisting God keeps us stuck, going the wrong direction, embracing God will move us forward into the right direction. Surrender is not just about losing my plans, it's about joining his purpose. Surrender says, God, you can have my plans. God, you can have my schedule. God, you can have my comfort. God, you can have my way. God, you can have me. Giving your life to Jesus is one of the best things you can ever do. But sometimes we get so focused on the cost, so we look at our Savior, we forget to look at our Savior that's on the cross. Sometimes I just kind of get so bogged up and about my plans and my agenda that I forget about the cost that he's done for me. And so Luke 9:23 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This may sound heavy, this may sound big, but if you're doing it with Jesus, if you see him and look at him face to face, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be a life of adventure. The best life possible, a life of following him and being a part of what he's doing. When I lay down my plans, I get his purpose. When I lay down my comfort, I grow. When I lay down my control, I get to trust God. When I lay down my life, I get to be used by God. This is what getting in the mix is all about. It's about me not looking at my situation, but looking at God and saying, let's do this together. But God has given us opportunities to serve and to be a part of this church community, and we get to serve alongside of him. Because getting in the mix is looking at Jesus and doing with the people around him and allowing him to change us. Getting into the mix requires us to have a surrendered yes to God. What's the difference between a yes and a surrendered yes to God? So we think of yes, like, God, I'll do it. But like what I did with Planet Fitness, it was like, felt forced. Or I feel good today, so I'm gonna say yes to you. A surrendered yes said, I'm gonna say yes regardless. I'm gonna say yes, Lord, yes, God. I'm gonna do your purpose. I'm gonna do what you've called me to do. That there's things in my life that I say no to, but God says yes to, and I'm gonna listen to him. Like, I know there's doors in my life where I'm like, God, there's no way. And then God said, yes. And in that situation, I grew from it. I even grew closer to him. Because God is doing this because he loves us. He wants us to grow to be more and more like him. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. God, you can do whatever you want with me. That is a super powerful thing to say. But it's one thing to say and another thing to actually live through. But we're not doing this alone. We got God with us, and we also have a church community behind us and in front of us and alongside of us. And so we should get into the mix with one another and allow God to change not just us, but the people around us as well. Going back to the story of Planet Fitness, God was not just trying to interrupt my workout. He was inviting me to get into the mix. He was teaching me that people matter more than my schedule. He was showing me that that obedience is not meant to be a burden. It's an opportunity to join him in what he's doing. In reevaluating that experience I had in the gym, God was inviting me to something bigger than my workout, bigger than my life. He was giving me the opportunity to represent Jesus, to love someone, and to plant a seed. To embrace change, embracing, walking, and having a relationship with Jesus. That's the whole beauty about embracing God. It's, I'm holding on to him. I'm looking into his eyes. I'm living with him. It's not just like, I'm doing my thing, I'm doing, and then you can stand right there. It's, God, I love you. You lead me, you guide me wherever I need to go. Knowing that God is the only one who can truly change us, and embracing him, we can truly change. We just sang it in the song, More Like Jesus, and none like you. No other name can save us. No other name can heal my heart. God's the only one that can change us. He's the only one that can truly mold the inward parts of ourselves. We're the clay and he's the potter. And so we have the opportunity and the joy for allowing him to mold and change us. So my third point is change requires change that leads to more change. That's a lot of change, isn't it? A lot of quarters, a lot of change. God did not just want us to have one moment of obedience. He wants our lives to be a testimony of his change. A testimony is an ongoing story. Yes, God changed us. He delivered us, and there was a moment where he saved us. But God is constantly changing us. God is constantly moving on us. Our testimony is also the ongoing story of how God continually changes us. We want testimonies that, it'd be so cool if somebody asked me, what's your testimony? I can't tell you how many testimonies I have. You want the one where it started, or do you want the one yesterday, you know? Like, God is continuously moving me, continuously changing me. And I've met people who lived a changed lifestyle versus a changing lifestyle. I've met younger people who you'd think would live a changing lifestyle, lived a changed lifestyle, saying, I got saved, and that's it. I got saved, and that's all I need right now. I'm good. But what about your relationship with Jesus? Like, is that growing? Oh, I got saved. I'm okay. What about the trauma in your life? That, no, I'm good. We're good. We're fine. I'm going to continue forward because I'm okay. I've also met older people who have a changing lifestyle, who are honestly always growing and moving in the things of the Lord. I remember this older gentleman who came up to me and said, man, I've been reading this book for 70 years, and every single time I still find life in the Word of God. I remember meeting somebody who said, I love Jesus more than I did yesterday. Like, that's a changing lifestyle. That's a lifestyle that I want to live, that we should live. As lifestyle saying, I'm not just going to stay here, but I'm going to continue moving forward in the things of God. And that hunger, that changing nature is contagious. It encourages not just the person, but all of us. As a church body, we all are changing. We're growing. We're moving. And if we're not changing, we're going to be, I'll be honest with you, you know, left behind. But we have to embrace one another. We have to move and grow closer to God together. Because one thing that's so cool about change is when I'm around a person with a changing lifestyle, it encourages me to change. It encourages me to move. It encourages me to grow closer to God. It allows me to become more and more like Jesus. That's what God created the church to be, the bride of Christ. We need to be together. We need to be close to Jesus so that we can change and grow more and more. I just wanted to say thank you, church. I came as a college student 10 years ago, and I was struggling with a ton of different things. I had addiction in my life. I was hurting. I had a lot of church hurt. But I came here, and you guys healed me. Seeing your lifestyle changed me. I was stuck in a changed lifestyle, and it developed into being a changing lifestyle. Because I saw you guys running after the Lord, and it encouraged me to do the same thing. And so I'm encouraging you in this is that we're not done yet. That God wants to continuously mold us, move us, and grow us. That he's not done with us yet. So as I conclude, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had the veils removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit. Make us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Paul invites every Christian to a special, glorious intimacy with God. This is a relationship and transforming power that is not the property of just a few privileged Christians. It can belong to all of us, to everyone who has an unveiled face. So I really want to share this story. God is still, of course, changing me. And yesterday, I came back from a wedding, and I was driving back here. And I was in the car with Brett and Kaoya, and we're just talking about how good God is. And in the midst, I started just having all these stresses and these worries, and it was just piling up. I was looking at what was in my hand, and I just kept thinking about all these things. And then a song came on, and I started looking at Jesus. And I just started crying. And he was reminding me all the things he's brought me through. He's reminding me of all the things he's changed in my life. And I thought to myself, God, thank you. I worry about all these things, but you have a track record. Not just in my life, but in the life of the people in this community, but also the scripture, the Bible. There's so many stories in which I can look at God and say, I can bet on you. You're faithful. And as I looked at him, he did work in my spirit. He changed me. He's changing me. And so I encourage you guys today that in order for you to change, we need to yield to God. You need to take the pause and ask God, where do you want to go? I'm done going my own way. That I want you to lead me and guide me. And then we also need to embrace him. Like the scripture says, it talks about this veil that's in front of the face, but it's removed. I could look at Jesus at the cross and be like, wow, hallelujah. Like, God, you want a relationship with me, and I got to live my life with you. So I encourage you to look at his face. And then lastly is that we need to continually change from glory to glory. That we're going to continuously change. That we don't just live the changed lifestyle, but we live a changing lifestyle. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to say thank you for today. Thank you, God, that you've knitted us in the womb, that you knew us from the beginning of time. And God, you're here with us in the midst. God, you're changing us. Make us more like you. God, we don't want anything else, but we just want you. And let's pray, Lord Jesus, that we understand that only you can truly change our inward parts. That sin has to go, that faith has to rise up. And let's pray, Lord, that we'd come with a humble heart, saying, God, we need you. God, change us. God, move us. I just pray that you encourage us, that you lift us up, you convict us, and you propel us to get into the mix. Thank you, God. In your wonderful and glorious name, amen.